Moncrief on News Talk.
As you know, the internet is awash with influencers, but like much else, they're under a bit of threat from artificial intelligence. A number of so-called virtual influencers are gaining a following. The human known as Elaine Burke from the For Tech's Sake podcast is here to tell us about them. Afternoon, Elaine.
Hi, yes, I'm definitely a real person.
Yes, you would say that, wouldn't you? is this a case where like particular companies are creating virtual people to just flog one product, or are there kind of AI or virtual influencers doing this for multiple things?
So yeah, they can be created from different sources. So sometimes it's just a creator, playing around with new tools that are available to them and seeing what's possible, and can they create this convincing avatar and create a profile for them. And then, just as with the human profile online, if that profile gets big enough and gets enough attention, it might then get sponsorship deals or advertising partnerships. So that's how it can happen in one way. And in some cases, an agency itself might actually create the influencer. That's what's happened with an agency in Spain, which created an influencer called Aitana, who's very popular online and is kind of seen as like an AI model. Mostly still images posted to their profile, very hyper realistic. And that's as well, there's a variety there in how realistic these avatars look as well. Some of them will look human, and like in your feed you might not notice the difference between them and other people in your feed, but then some of them are going down that more kind of cartoonish virtual reality kind of look as well. So there's all types of creativity happening here, really.
Yeah, and the ones that look human, is it easy or not to tell whether that they're not human, that they are actually created?
No, like it can be quite difficult. And I think it's not helped by the fact that on social media, even the people who are real people behind an account are using things like filters and Photoshop to edit their photographs and stage things and make them look at, a certain level of perfection, a certain standard that they've set for themselves. So when you see these very, very polished accounts, they actually sit right and reasonably in amongst your various Instagram feeds or your TikTok feeds and stuff like that. And there can be tells, as there is often with like images that are generated using AI technologies. And the key thing is to look at like things like ears and hands. But I would say that the really popular ones that have millions or tens of thousands of followers, they have teams behind them that are perfecting the images and the videos that they put out. So they will look really high standard and you won't find many tells. They would just look very polished, I guess. And I suppose that raises questions around, there's already these unattainable beauty standards being perpetuated online and now they're literally digitizing them. So beyond aspirational, but to the impossible at this stage.
Yeah. How much time do we spend studying ears or hands in detail anyway? And do some of them have biographies in the sense that they're pretending to go around, I want to meet holidays to Spain kind of stuff, the way other human influencers might?
Yeah, and not just biographies, but like this kind of a personality that's built into them as well. So you're probably thinking of Lil Michaela there, who posted about a trip around Barcelona, and even the captions are quite lengthy, and they would be written in a kind of way that does seem like a young person who's very online wrote them. You know, you've got lots of lowercase writing, you've got multiple exclamation marks and kind of trailing sentences and like a stream of consciousness going on. So they do try to create not just the look, but also like a personality behind these characters as well.
Yeah. And so and in the case of Lil Michaela, what's she flogging or what's it flogging?
So like I said, some of them are, creating brand partnerships, but some of them are actually creating like a character that can actually perform. So they've already pivoted as well to music stars and musicians. And Lil Michaela, I believe, is one of those who is kind of a singer / influencer. And there's another one called Nunuri, who's more cartoonish looking, who hit headlines last year for actually securing a record deal. So they also pivot just like influencers do. And some of them then get kind of pictured wearing clothing from a brand. And like I said, sometimes they're cartoonish versions of these avatars that are wearing clothing from a brand, or they may even, there's one called Aitana who is promoting Olaplex, and Olaplex is a treatment for people who've damaged their hair through dyeing processes. And Aitana has this gorgeous pink hair, but I mean, it's definitely not damaged because it's not real. Like, so it's really bizarre. But like, then you think of it, is it any different than Eva Longoria telling me that she uses L'Oreal products, which I certainly don't believe either.
Yeah. But if Eva Longoria was going, I'm going to flog jeans from ASOS, you see her actually wearing them. But a virtual influencer isn't wearing the jeans. Even the jeans have been created by the people.
But getting into like a bit more media literacy in terms of fashion and advertising and stuff like that, what you often see, say, on pictures on ASOS and stuff like that is not from behind. You see from the front view, and there's actually like bulldog clips and all sorts going on to hold the material in a certain place and make it look good in the photograph. So what you get won't actually always look like what you've seen online, because the way things are photographed, the styling that happens, it happens in food photography as well. You see, you know, the pictures of burgers and things like that, and they look beautiful. You wouldn't believe the horrendous things that those food pieces go through to make them look so good in advertising. There's hairspray used on lettuce, and there's glue used instead of milk in cereal photography and stuff like that. So all of this for many years has been a form of artifice. And I think the virtual side of it actually is more honest, because you know very much that it's all fake. The person's not even real.
Yeah, fair enough. Now, who owns them? I mean, are there, you know, big corporations who own these particular products and then they're making money off it?
Yeah. So like I said, it can range from where the creation is coming from. So Nunuri, that kind of cartoonish influencer who was partnered with some like big high end fashion brands and now has signed a record deal. That was the creation of one guy. And he uses a motion capture suit to actually dictate Nunuri's movement. So the dances that you see Nunuri doing is actually a guy in a mocap suit who has created that. And because he then like made those partnerships with brands and then got a record deal, so then like I suppose those companies have a stake and an ownership of that character. But then Aitana was created by an agency. So that's an agency that creates digital marketing materials for various clients. And now they have basically an avatar that will do and say and promote whatever a client wants, whatever the agency can book for them. So different interest groups are kind of trying to take control of these characters, so to speak.
Yeah. I wonder, is it cheaper in terms of?
Well, I would definitely say cheaper. You've no labor laws to contend with. You don't have to give them breaks. You don't have to feed them. There's instances in China where some of the tele shopping channels are using virtual hosts because they can go for 24 hours straight, 7 days a week on nonstop. And people will have that familiar face there all the time, no matter what time they tune in. So that side of it, where you kind of have this controllable entity that is also never going to make a misstep. They're never going to push back on what you want them to say. They're never going to have a life outside of the world you've created for them where they, you know, misbehave, go out and get photographed doing things that are unseemly to the brand. They're never going to do any of that. So it gives brands this kind of very controlled ambassador entity. And if they also have a following online, well, then that's very attractive to a brand for a partnership.
Yeah. Well, until they reach consciousness and kill us all. How do they build the following? What would attract people, do you think?
It's kind
because
of
a lot, yeah, a lot of influencers are kind of trying to trade on, I'm just like you, I'm an ordinary person. But clearly this isn't.
It's quite interesting because like that genuinely, like people who work in that influencer sphere, you know, human beings, it's very taxing on them because they do get like challenged on their authenticity. People treat them as if they have like their followers feel like they have ownership of them. They form these weird parasocial relationships with them and make massive demands on them. And, you know, a lot of people in that industry have had issues with that. Whereas with the avatars, I think what attracts people to them is they can definitely easily respond to your demands. You know, when you're saying, I want this from you, they can respond to it a lot easier than a human being can because all their resources are, you know, falsified and generated. So if you want to see them do a trip to Barcelona, boom, they can be in Barcelona. And yeah. If you want them to say certain things, they can do it. and they can interact, obviously, with people. And if you've got a team of people behind the avatar, it's very easy for them to keep up with all their messages and keep interacting with people. But it's the same kind of aspirational content that you see gets popular on these platforms. And it is kind of a lot of them trend on Instagram, where, you know, they have these beautiful holiday pictures. They have these glamorous shots. They look beautiful. They live kind of aspirational lives, going to New York Fashion Week and like rubbing shoulders with celebrities in this kind of fiction that's been created around them. Huh. So it's just the same kind of aspirational stuff that we see trending online from real people as well. Yeah.
So if somebody interacts with one of these influencers and they get a reply, has that reply been actually, has it been just generated by a program, or has an actual human at some point answered?
Yeah, so that's actually why I kind of was used that term virtual influencers, because the term AI influencers has been used around them. And I think that kind of belies how much AI technology can be involved here, because there's teams, like I said, of people, real human beings actually behind a lot of these accounts. They are probably using AI technologies for various things, like obviously creating the images is one thing, but, you know, generating the text that they use, generating responses, actually managing responses, kind of like the way a chatbot would. And there's an example of a K-pop group called Eternity, who are completely like false avatars, but they are people's bodies are used to create videos about them, but then the face will be whatever is the AI generated face for that group. So it looks like they have many, many talents, but it's because there are many, many people behind them. And they were actually created with the idea of turning this pop group into virtual companions for people, and, you know, creating a chatbot built around the personality and the look and feel of these various avatars. And when you think about like the amount of teenagers out there who'd love to have a conversation with their favorite pop star, like to be able to create a pop star that you can do that with and who's never going to say anything unseemly or untoward, if the programming is good on the chatbot side of things, well, then that's something, again, that can be like a very lucrative avenue for a record company to go down. So using AI technologies, they would be able to interact with people, but they would have like a programmed personality, because we've seen that already with many avatars and virtual companions online.
How would they play gigs then? Or is the expectation they never would?
Well, this is actually fascinating. So this all may sound like bizarre to you and I, Sean, but there's a whole generation growing up who interact online a lot through avatars. You're talking like your Fortnite gamers and, you know, people who live online, and like a lot of it comes through gaming, but that gaming world has been infiltrated by a lot more of pop culture, and the likes of Fortnite actually hosts concerts and gigs, and like names that we would have heard of, like Travis Scott has definitely gigged in Fortnite. I'm pretty sure Ariana Grande did as well. And as well, you can have bands that are created to just perform in the metaverse. And one of those is Maeve, who, again, teenagers told me about this group. I didn't know anything about them. They're an animated virtual K-pop group. But teenagers I was speaking to told me, oh, yeah, have you heard of Maeve? They're like an AI group and I've seen them perform. And I think they performed in Fortnite as well. So these virtual worlds may seem a bit strange to us, but there are millions of people for whom they're a completely normal way to consume pop culture and media.
Yeah. Though at the same time, you can't help but wonder if, you know, it, so many kind of things in, you know, in the artistic realm, or even just like being an influencer, that they're essentially taking that work away from humans.
Yeah. And like I said, they can look very appealing because of that aspect of the brand would be able to exert a lot more control over a virtual avatar than over an actual human being. So that will be something that I'd say appeals to brands, but they won't appeal to all consumers. Like I said, there are millions of people who follow these accounts who are very invested in these avatar personalities, but then there's also millions of people online who demand this level of authenticity from the people that they follow and that they interact with and stuff like that. So there are actually two very different factions there, and both of them are groups with, you know, wallets and pockets that these advertisers want to reach.
Yeah. One of our listeners says, has your guest heard about the Nature documentary in Australia, I think, that was made by AI? That's mad. AI is the farthest thing from nature. Look it up on YouTube. That's it.
Oh, God.
And now,
they have generated footage of one of the recent AI demos from like a text to video engine showed like a turtle swimming in the ocean, and it did look quite realistic as well. But that's only like 60 seconds of footage. I didn't realize an entire documentary had been made.
And somebody else has a question. Now, they say there's a man I matched with on Tinder that I'm convinced is AI or using AI generated pictures. The pictures are so perfect to the point where I think they can't be real. This sounds like a joke, but it's really happening. Could that be happening?
Oh, that definitely happens. That is 100% a thing that happens online. There's dating apps in particular are rife with scams, and not all of them are using AI generated imagery. Sometimes they just find stock images of people, or they find images of real people that they then use without their permission to create profiles. There are tons of scams. The best way to kind of protect yourself against them, and there are loads of techniques, but just really quickly to give them an answer on that is, if they're in conversation with this person that they've matched with, is to try and get them to send a picture of something very unique, or, you know, not necessarily the hosted picture or holding up the newspaper of the day or anything like that, but something that would be very, very unique. And you'd want them to send it to you quite quickly so that they can't just AI generate it and perfect it. And if they do AI generate it, check those hands, check those ears, check things like that if it looks a bit strange. If you're chatting with someone online and you are thinking that it is kind of a relationship, but you're suspicious about it, you should... even if dating is what you're interested in here, you should be trying to meet people offline. And if they're sketchy about meeting offline, there could be many duplicitous reasons for that. And that's definitely the advice, is to try and move things offline quickly. And if that doesn't happen, it's probably not going to be progressing any further. And not only could it be a scam, it could be someone who is pretending to be someone that they're not as well.
Ah. It's an increasingly confusing world. Elaine, thanks a million as ever. That's Elaine Burke there from the For Tech's Sake podcast.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.